Good morning, boys and girls.
All I heard was three voices.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
Oh, so much better. You guys look so nice and so warm this morning. Well, today I have a story about two girls who were best friends. And not only friends, they were sisters. Their names were Janet and Julie. So Janet and Julie likes to do everything together. They played dolls, they played pretend, they played house. Oh man, and they had their favorite little dolls. Janet had a doll where she had real hair you can comb it, and a little bottle that pretend like the baby would drink it. And then Julie, she had a doll that had the most beautiful dress. And so one day, Janet and Julie went out with their moms to go run an errand downtown. And Janet and Julie said, yeah, let's go. Let's go take our baby dolls with us. They like to pretend to take their dolls out and have fun. And so they were in the car, they were riding, they were having fun, they were giggling, they were laughing. And a few minutes later, they felt like this car ride was too long. And next thing you know, they started arguing. Janet goes, Julie, you don't do nothing with your doll. All you do is let it sit in the corner. And then Julie said, Janet, you don't do nothing with your doll. All you do is let her stay in her bed. That's all you do. You don't take her out to have fun. And they were just saying some mean things to each other. Next thing you know, they start pushing each other, they start shoving, and Janet goes, Mom, tell Julie to leave me alone. She won't leave me alone. And Julie says, I didn't do nothing. You started this. Next thing, Janet takes Julie's doll and hangs it right outside the car window. Janet goes, if you don't leave my doll alone, your doll is going to go out of this window. And Julie says, Mom, tell Janet to bring the dolly back. Don't let her take my dolly. And Janet goes, well, you won't do nothing and you're being mean to me. And Julie goes, I'm not being mean to you. You started this. And they argued and they argued. So Mom decided to slow down the car and pull over to the side so they can stop this argument. So Julie figured, since Mom is already stopping the car, she could just toss the doll out and the doll would be fine. She decided to toss the doll out the window, but little did she know that dolly was not okay. As soon as Mom stepped out the car, she opened the door. She saw Janet's doll right underneath the tire. Oh man, was Janet upset. She was so upset, she told Julie, Julie, I don't ever want to play with you. You are a mean sister. We are no longer best friends. and I don't ever, ever want to talk to you. Oh, man, that just broke Julie's heart. Julie just started crying and crying and crying, and she apologized. But Janet, she wasn't having it. She was so upset, she ignored Julie the whole way back home. And so Julie was went into a room, and she was thinking, what can I do to make my sister forgive me? What can I do to make it all better? I didn't mean to hurt her dolly. She just wanted to show her that she was not being nice to her dolly. So instead, Janet, she was so upset at Julie. She was planning on doing something so, so mean back at Julie because of what she did to her dolly. So she was in room. She was thinking, what can I do? I want to hurt Julie so bad because she hurt my dolly and she needs to know how it feels. So she was thinking and she was thinking, and she came up with an idea. She decided to go into her sister Julie's room and take one of her special dollies and throw it in the trash and never find it again so she can learn her lesson. But she had to do it quietly. That way Julie didn't find out. So she didn't know that Julie was still in her room. So Janet decided to go inside Julie's room quietly and tried to sneak in. And then Julie popped up. She was like, oh, Julie's here. And Julie decided to apologize and to ask for forgiveness again. She tells Janet, Janet, I am so sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your dolly. If you want, I want to give you my special dolly. Because I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I miss you. I don't want us to be upset at each other. And Janet said, it's okay, Julie. And Janet decided to forgive Julie and not hold the grudge against her. So later on that night, everything was back to normal, and they decided to be best friends again. So as we grow older, we have siblings. All of us have siblings, right? Or a cousin or a really close friend that we love. And the Bible teaches us that we need to learn how to say sorry for those that we've hurt, those in any kind of way, whether we verbally hurt them, saying mean things to them, or we push them or we shove them. And the Lord also says, gives us a chance to ask for forgiveness when we do wrong, not only to others, but to Him. And so there was two verses that are really, really important to remember. Daniel 9:9 says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. And Matthew 6:14-15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if anybody here has brothers or sisters that you've hurt, and you think that you don't want to forgive them or you shouldn't forgive them because they've hurt you really, really bad, we should remember that forgiveness is something that we need to do each and every day, because although we hurt people and they hurt us, God still loves us, and even though we don't know and we don't accept it, we still love them, the ones that we've hurt. Okay, anybody want to pray?
Dear Jesus, thank you for the day, and we pray to God to help us go to us and be religious. Amen.
Okay, you guys can go back to your seats.
Good morning, my beloved fellow Christians. I'd like to make a quick announcement before we have the morning prayer. Solicit your prayers for a special event that's going on in my wife's part of the world. She's from Moldova, most of you know. It Is Written is having an evangelistic campaign in her part of the world, in Moldova and Romania, some other areas. And my wife inquired about if she could help with that. Well, it turns out she has been invited to be one of the presenters in the evangelistic meetings in Moldova. So we ask for your prayers for that. That's very exciting. Her and the boys will be leaving January 4th, so please pray for them, and I will be joining them later in February when the meetings begin. So it's time for our morning prayer, so if you would please bring your blue cards down, and we will kneel before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before your throne of grace, thanking you for being the awesome God that you are, and for allowing your Son to come down here, Father, to be born a babe and to die on the cross to save us. We thank you, Father, for being such a loving God, to do that for us, to save us. And we pray this morning for members of our congregation, Father. We pray for Shannon especially. Pray for your healing hand upon her and help her to be well. We thank you, Father, for the new additions to the church family through babies being born. And we also pray for the Diaz family and in this time of their life. We know that resurrection morning is going to be a great day, Father, as so many babies will be put back into the mother's arms. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit to be with our speaker today. And give him words, Father, that will draw us all near to you this day as we worship you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name, our Savior and Redeemer. Amen.
Can you just imagine what it was that day when the children were praising Jesus in the temple? And how it must warm his heart to hear your beautiful children sing these praises to Jesus today. As the children sang, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And when the angels sang to the shepherds, before the choir broke out into song, he said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Peace on earth. Why is peace connected with Jesus? Because there's no other way to have peace. And the song that the choir will sing is, the words are, "Dona Nobis," which means, "Grant us peace." And I would like for all of us to meditate on and know that when we pray that prayer, what we're asking for is Jesus in our hearts. Because really, that is the only way we can have peace.
Our scripture reading today, Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, verse 12. And it says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." Now, I had the remote here, oh, there it is. Very good. This was beautiful, wasn't it? This, you know, the children's story, the music, it was just wonderful to be part of this. I'm glad you are here today to enjoy this wonderful church service that we have been blessed with so far. Now, you may be hoping this morning that the length of the sermon is going to be directly proportional to the length of the scripture reading. Unfortunately for you, that is not going to be the case, since there is more than enough in this one verse that I just read to speak about for hours. But don't worry. I'm not going to speak very long this morning. But I do want to take the time to get down to the nitty-gritty about what Jesus is talking about. In a way, the verse that we're looking at this morning is one, it's really one sentence summary of everything that Jesus has been saying throughout the entire Sermon on the Mount. So this is like a summary of the whole thing. This is a very, very important verse that we just read. He sums up everything that he has said so far in one simple rule of life. If we live in harmony with that rule, often referred to as the golden rule, then our lives will be blessed. And our families will be blessed. And our world will be blessed. This verse is really about giving. We find ourselves in the season of giving. I hope and pray that every season will be a season of giving for each and every one of us. And so this message, listen carefully as we elaborate, as we delve into this verse and look at what it means. You know, the name Golden Rule has its origin in the fact that a Roman emperor by the name of Alexander Severus, he was so impressed by this saying of Jesus that he engraved this saying on the wall in gold. The Golden Rule. You know, the name has stuck because it has this golden quality of doing away with the need for hundreds of other more specific rules about our relationship with others. If you keep in mind the golden rule, it kind of does away with the need for many, for other rules when it comes to your relationship to other people. This one rule covers a lot of territory. It covers a lot of situations. So you can either open your Bible, and in fact I would encourage you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to have it on the screen, but it's good to look at it in your own Bible. You may get a different translation, and you can see it all at the same time, all the verses. I'm going to have one verse at a time here. And so open your Bible to Matthew 7, and we're going to look at verse 12 first. Matthew 7, verse 12. And let's read this golden rule of Jesus again. And he says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, wait a minute. I don't know if you noticed something here, but this sentence starts with what word? Therefore. Okay, so we need to go back a little bit, don't we? So let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7. I guess our scripture reading is becoming a little bit longer. All right. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, at first glance, it doesn't look like verse 12 goes with the previous verses. Jesus is talking about God giving good gifts to those who ask him. And then he finishes with the golden rule. What's the connection here? Well, Jesus is highlighting God's love. He's highlighting God's generosity, God giving gifts. He's talking about parents giving gifts to their children and how much more God would be willing to give. I also believe that he is here highlighting God's grace and God's mercy. Because how often have we received grace and mercy from God when we have messed up? Anyone here exempt from that? You all have received mercy and grace when you messed up. And then Jesus points to the fact that we are already doing this stuff ourselves to a degree when it comes to our children. We show them love. We show them generosity. We show them grace. We show them mercy. We don't give them everything they want. Just like God doesn't give us everything we want. You see, and this is really the what the golden rule is all about. God does what is best, what is in our best interest. And we, out of love, do the same for our children in what is their best interest, I hope. But then Jesus takes it a step further by challenging us to show that kind of love to others. To treat others the way you are treated by God. To show God's love to others. To show God's generosity to others. To show God's grace and mercy to others. Now these are the kinds of things you would want done to you, right? So therefore go and do them to your fellow man. That's what he's saying. The golden rule sums up the law and the prophets because the law and the prophets are all about love. When it says the law and the prophets, it's referring to the Old Testament. It's all about the love of God. And it's all about loving God and loving others. And people failing to do that, of course, there's a lot about that as well. But anyway, that's what Jesus said that the two greatest commandments were. The golden rule has love as its driving force, and it fulfills the law of love. Now in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, Paul says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." Now, in the earlier in the same letter to the Romans, he said this. He said in chapter 1, verse 14, "I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise." Now, Ellen White is commenting on this in her book, Tossed from the Mount of Blessing. And so she says, let me see if I can find it here. There we go. "By all that you have known of the love of God, by all that you have received of the rich gifts of his grace, above the most benighted and degraded soul upon the earth, are you in debt to that soul to impart these gifts unto him." So, you know, this is really about passing on the sacrificial love that Christ has shown to us. Jesus continually fulfilled the law of sacrificial love in his life. And he wants his children to follow his example and do the same. And that law of sacrificial love really comes down to the golden rule. It fulfills the law of love to the fullest extent. You know, the way that I memorized this golden rule of Jesus, it kind of sounded like this: "Do unto others what you would have others do unto you." That's how I remember kind of memorizing it. That's how I kept it in my mind. And is that how you learned it? Do unto others what you would have others do to you? Okay, now this golden rule of Jesus has been misunderstood by many people. Many times it's simply being misquoted. out of convenience to become do unto others as they do unto you. Now, recently I accepted a friend, accidentally accepted a friend on this social media called LinkedIn, which is employment related. And I didn't know the person, but I thought, well, somewhere maybe he has heard about me through one of my other friends, because that's how it worked, LinkedIn. You have friends of friends, acquaintances of acquaintances of acquaintances, and that's how you get connections. So I didn't know the person, but because he was an acquaintance of an acquaintance or so, I accepted him into my circle. And immediately he proceeded to give me glowing reviews as a pastor. Wow. In about 20 different specialties, and some of them I haven't even heard about. That's LinkedIn for you. Okay? I was not worthy of that at all. I hadn't even heard about some of them. So why did he do this? Because that's how LinkedIn works, you know. He wanted me to do the same thing for him. Yeah. Now, what is that called? That's called the law of reciprocity. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. It's the law that often prevails on Facebook. You like some of my posts and pictures, I'm going to like some of yours. And on Twitter, the same thing. If you follow me, I'll follow you. How many people want followers because of their low self-esteem or competitiveness? I recently saw a sign that said, "Don't follow me, I'm lost too." You know, we are all controlled by this law or rule of reciprocity in some way or another. If you do something for me, I'll return the favor. Now, we do not always want to comply with this rule, but we're often caught up in its web. And we succumb to it in all kinds of situations. By the way, how many of you get Christmas cards? Yeah? Do you feel obliged to have to return and send Christmas cards out? It's a wonderful thing to send Christmas cards. But how many of you feel, oh no, I have another person to add to my list? And you can go on and on about that in the various areas where you think, oh, you know, here's another obligation. You see, this could also be called the law of obligations or the law of reciprocity. It's a law that governs our responses, and we feel helpless to resist. We feel compelled to obey because it seems like we owe it to others. The law of reciprocity, the law of self-interest, the law of obligation. But the golden rule that Jesus shares with us, it breaks free from the law of reciprocity. And it breaks free from its manipulating grip on us, if you will. The golden rule bypasses obligation and self-interest. It's not about treating others according to how they treat me, or how I expect them to treat me, or to treat them so that they will owe me something. But it's treating others how I would like to be treated, whether they treat me that way or not. Unless you want to do harm to yourself, the golden rule has world-changing implications. There are some people that don't like themselves and they want to harm themselves. They maybe should be thinking carefully before they start applying the golden rule. They have to keep in mind all the other biblical principles that will sort of correct the golden rule for them. The golden rule cuts right across the law of reciprocity. The golden rule is not simply exchanging things with others for mutual benefit. It involves giving without the expectation that I will receive anything back. It involves generosity without expecting a tax break. The golden rule far surpasses the law of reciprocity and what I think I owe. It goes the extra mile. It shows unconditional love. And of course, God has shown us what the golden rule is all about. All we need to do is to follow His example, the example of Christ as He walked among us. It's really modeled on God's love for us, in that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Another problem with the law of reciprocity, the idea of doing unto others as they do unto us, is that you have support there for revenge. If someone wrongs me, I now have the justification to wrong them. My older brother and I, we were very close when we grew up. So close that, as close as we needed to be in order to be wrestling and fighting. In order to get the other person to the ground, we had to be really close. Now, there were times when our parents had to intervene, and usually the first words out of my mouth, yeah, my brother too at times, where he started it. He started the fight. In other words, I have the right to reciprocate, to respond in kind, whether good or bad. You know, you think that we grow out of that when we get older, but I see the law of reciprocity at work in our church even at times. He wronged me, she wronged me, and therefore I have a right to be upset. I have a right to avoid, I have a right to do my own thing here, to kind of meet this head on. You know, I heard expression, take the bull by the horns. Well, in this case, it's about using my horns to really get the other one back. You know, in Luke chapter 6, we see Jesus dismantling this misconception. It says in Luke 6, verses 27 to 36, this is a long passage here now. He says, but I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them. Love who? Your enemies, do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is pretty extreme. Suddenly I can just see the lending barometer going down. There are fewer here that are actually going to be lending money. Don't expect it back. That's pretty extreme. What Jesus is teaching here is radical and downright impossible without Him. After all, we are programmed in our sinful human nature. We are programmed to not put up with mistreatment without a fight, without retaliating in some way or another. But we know that Jesus didn't just teach it, He actually lived it. He dealt with mistreatment without retaliating. people abused him, but he didn't even come out of character. He was who he was. He was leaning on his Heavenly Father for strength to be the kind of person he was to be. Now you might say, well, that was Jesus. The power that enabled Jesus to do it empowers you too, if you are born again. And Jesus highlights that we need to be different. The non-believer knows how to be nice to those who are nice to him. But we are called to a higher standard. And living by the golden rule is that higher standard. And what kind of impact does it have when we do what is uncommon? When we walk down that road less traveled? Some people may think us crazy or weak, but there will also be those who will be drawn to it. They will be drawn to Jesus because of our example. Now, another variation of the golden rule is, do not do to others what you don't want done to you. There's a lot of variations here, but there are. In fact, this was the favorite rule of the Pharisees. That's how they would word it. There's nothing bad about it. I mean, so basically this says, don't do mean things to other people if you don't want them to do mean things to you. And this is good. It's not a bad principle for life, but it's very limited. This negative version of the rule does not capture the full meaning of the golden rule of Jesus. The rule says, if you don't want to be stolen from, if I don't want to be stolen from, I won't steal. If I don't want to be punched in the face, and I won't punch other people in the face. But you know what this is? What this rule is about? This rule is about restraint. It's about restraint. It's not about being proactive. And there is a difference. Let's look at the words of Jesus again in Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. So Jesus is talking about taking initiative here. The rule of Jesus is proactive. It's active. Don't just restrain from negative conduct. Rather, actively do good. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. Think about, dwell upon, how can I treat that person in a way that I would like to be treated? Wow, especially individuals that may have wronged you. How would I like to be treated if I was the one that had wronged someone else? You see, restraint is good, but taking initiative, being proactive, is much better. Jesus tells us that this simple principle is to guide our interaction with others, and that this is the law and the prophets, he says. In other words, the Old Testament, the Word of God that was available to the people of God at that time, testifies to the truth of this life principle. Now, can you think of anywhere in the Old Testament that confirms this golden rule of Jesus? Do to others what you have them do unto you. Well, in Leviticus 19:18 comes to mind, which is later quoted by Jesus, and it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is the new commandment that Jesus brought, right? Well, it was new because it was new to them. They had forgotten about it. But it was not new. It was in the Old Testament. And for the first time, they had seen it completely lived out in the life of Jesus. So the revelation was there. Wow, this is how it's done. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that how we really want to be treated? We want to be loved, to be cherished, to be appreciated, to be treated with respect, to be treated with care, whether we deserve it or not. Jesus says, do to others what you want them to do to you. In another place, Jesus says, love one another. That's really another statement of the same truth, isn't it? Demonstrate love in the way you relate to each other. Don't just avoid doing bad things to each other. That's important. But walking with Jesus involves more than just avoiding doing bad things. Rather, actively seek to do good. I cannot think of anything more challenging in a person's life than to actively seek to do good moment by moment. And thankfully, we have a Savior who's willing to forgive when we mess up, but we also have a Lord who is willing to empower us to walk with Him and to learn from Him and to do what He does. Treat each other the way you want to be treated. Love each other. Now that's a wonderful rule for life, isn't it? Now I like what it says in the Message paraphrase. If you heard about Message, it's not a translation, so I wouldn't recommend you read that as your Bible. It's a paraphrase. But it says, on the same verse, it says, here is a simple rule of thumb guide for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and prophets, and this is what you get. I kind of like that one. That's a great way to put it in language that people understand today. Here is a simple rule of thumb, a guide for behavior. Ask yourself what people want to do for you, and then grab the initiative and do it for them. Add up God's law and the prophets, and this is what you get. If you then, Jesus says, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And then comes the golden rule. Therefore, in the light of the amazing love that your Heavenly Father has for you, show that kind of love to others. We don't just actively seek to do good to each other, to treat each other the way we would like to be treated, because it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. But that is not our motivation. We live by the golden rule of Jesus because that's how our loving Father in heaven has related to us. He is living by the golden rule. Our loving Father in heaven has treated us not as we deserve, but how He would like to be treated if He were in our situation. You see, the golden rule is from God. He's the one who created it. He made it up. It relates to who He is. If God had been in our situation, how would He want to be treated? That's on His mind when He creates this rule. Our loving Father in heaven has treated us with what? With grace, with mercy, with love. And so Jesus says, go and live like that. When Jesus met the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, He did not stone her. He did not humiliate her publicly like the religious leaders were doing. Jesus practiced the golden rule. He treated her the way He would have liked to be treated, with mercy and grace and love. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus said. Go and sin no more. And He did that one-on-one. Now, after Simon Peter had publicly denied with curses that he even knew the Savior, that he knew Jesus, Jesus did not reject him. Jesus did have a private conversation with Simon Peter after Jesus was raised from the dead. And that conversation was so private that it's not even recorded in the Bible. Our Savior is merciful, isn't he? And then publicly, Jesus reinstated Peter and said, "Feed my sheep." He gave him a job, involved him in ministry. Peter was forgiven. Now get up, get involved in service. Jesus practiced the golden rule with Peter. He treated Peter the way he would have liked to be treated, with grace and mercy and love. The book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 136, it says, "The standard of the golden rule is the true standard of Christianity. Anything short of it is a deception. A religion that leads men to place a low estimate upon human beings, whom Christ has esteemed of such value as to give himself for them. A religion that would lead us to be careless of human needs, sufferings, or rights, is a spurious religion." What do you think? Let me read on. "In slighting the claims of the poor, the suffering, and the sinful, including those that have sinned against you, we are proving ourselves traitors to Christ." That's pretty strong, isn't it? "It is because men take upon themselves the name of Christ, while in life they deny his character, that Christianity has so little power in the world. The name of the Lord is blasphemed because of these things." She's talking about the golden rule not being practiced here. So if someone wrongs you, my friend, don't just bash them over the head. If someone treats you poorly, practice the golden rule of Jesus. That person may have made mistakes, but treat that brother how you would have liked to be treated in the same situation. Treat him with the grace and the mercy and the love that your loving Father in heaven has shown you. Practice the golden rule. Go and live like that. And more generally speaking, when people come to church on Sabbath morning, treat them the way that you would have liked to be treated when you come to church, especially when you come to a new church. When people come to Three Angels Church on Sabbath morning, do you leave them thinking, "I've never felt more welcomed in my life"? You know, I try to shake some hands as a pastor, but I can't shake everyone's hands. I'm trying to get around. I try to talk with people, to invite them to the fellowship meal, and to communicate, and because it's the love of Christ that should constrain us to do that. But I can't do it all. We need to work as a team. We all need to live the golden rule of Jesus. Treat others the way we want to be treated. To love others, just as our loving Father in heaven has shown love to us. So go and live like that. And by the way, if you are in the ministry, if you're involved in leading some ministry, the golden rule involves also discipleship, discipling others that are not involved. Because you're involved because you want to be involved, because you believe it's important to be involved. There are many that are not involved, and so the golden rule will say, "You know what, I want to treat him as I would have wanted to be treated," to be asked to, "Hey, help me to learn, you know, help him to learn a skill or a ministry in the church that he can be involved in." And when people come to you and they ask you, "Why are you being so generous? Why are you being so helpful? Why are you being so kind to me?" When people ask you, why are you so loving? Then you can honestly tell them, "You know, my Father in heaven has been loving to me. And that by his grace, you're reflecting the beauty of his character to others." It's all about Him. It's all about reflecting. And that's what Jesus did when He walked on this earth. And you, as a child of God, if you're born again, you are walking with Jesus. So go and live like that. This is the season of giving. We're looking to Jesus, hopefully every season, but people are thinking about Jesus more in this season, I hope. And not only thinking of Jesus as a child, but also hopefully the crucified Savior, the one who should be the center of attention. And I pray that every season, maybe a season of giving the best gift possible, just as for Jesus, every season has been about giving us the best gifts possible. May every season be the season of sharing God's sacrificial love with others. May we practice the golden rule of doing to others what we would want them to do to us if we were in their shoes. Here's a last quote from Thoughts from the Mother Blessing, page 137. When those who profess the name of Christ shall practice the principles of the golden rule, the same power will attend the gospel as in apostolic times. Can you now see how important the golden rule is? Can you see why I spent this much time on one verse? May God bless each one of us as we contemplate these words. And as we sing our closing song, I just invite you to make a decision in your own heart to be a Christian. Because really, this is about being a Christian. To give your life to God and to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. And I pray that you will just sing that and have that prayer in your heart as we sing our closing song at this time.